This is the Way Back Throwback, episode number 2. The Way Back Throwback is brought to you by the Trending Topics Network. Check out some great shows like Old School at the Movies, Trending Mobile Technology, and the Spanish Announce Table. Guys, we're back for episode number 2 of the Way Back Throwback, where we are your one-stop shop for all your 90s-related nostalgia. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. Oldschoolmovies.net is the site where you can listen to my movie podcast, but if you want to get into this podcast directly and all the other podcasts, that would be trendingtopicsnetwork.com. You could reach me at oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com, or you could tweet me at oldmovies.net. That's oldmovies.net. We don't have an official Twitter or email yet. We're not sure if I'm going to make this a weekly thing or not. So your feedback is very important. If you guys want to hear more of this 90s-related nostalgia, let me know. All right, let's introduce our panel for this week. We're going to have two panelists coming in about 20 minutes, but we'll start off with our leadoff hitter, Mr. Kev Botrek.
Howdy.
We've got Heavyset.
Cowabunga.
And we've got D-Ran.
Yo.
Yeah, all right. This week's theme is 90s cartoons. We're going to start right off playing a bunch of themes and getting our thoughts on each of these amazing cartoons. This is going to bring me back. Let's start with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Guys, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was one of my favorite, by far, cartoons. Of course, the movies got me into it, but let's start off with you, Kev Botrek. What was your favorite turtle?
Unlike most other people, I was a fan of Raphael.
Raphael? The asshole?
No, but see, I think people remember him more from the first movie.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, I know he's a bit of an asshole in the cartoon, but it wasn't nearly as bad as it was in the movie.
He had definitely had some social issues, some abandonment issues or whatever in the movie.
Yeah, I know. I don't know, maybe I liked his weapon. Like, I know everyone liked the nunchucks on Michelangelo, but I loved him having those two sides, and I just loved his attitude.
Yeah. Mine was Donatello by far. I love his intelligence. I love his quick wit. And, you know, the other ones just seemed, I don't know, man. Maybe I like purple. Who knows? But Donatello was definitely my favorite. Heavy Set, what was your favorite Ninja Turtle?
Actually, like, it's changed throughout the years. Like, I had times where I like Leonardo more, Mike. Like, it's just, got, for whatever reason, it's always changed. Now, as an adult, I'm more of a Raphael guy because I'm naturally that same kind of asshole. So, that appeals to me. But, like, as a kid, like, maybe if I was playing a video game, I like Donatello more, and I remember a period where I loved Donatello more. When I was really, really young, you know, Michelangelo was the cool, fun one and all this, so that was my reason to like him. So just swords in general was a reason to like Leonardo, and especially the leader aspect of, like, everybody always wanted to be, like, whatever leader, even, like, when it comes to Power Rangers. Everybody, like, a lot of people loved the leader. So it was kind of the same way with Leonardo. So, like, it just all depends when it was, which one was my favorite. But also, if I would count any technical turtle that was on the show, I have to go by far Metalhead.
Okay.
Because I loved Metalhead. Like, that was probably my favorite villain of the show. And technically, he's a, quote, turtle.
That's true. Any other thoughts on Ninja Turtles before we move on? D-Ren, did I ask you your favorite turtle?
No.
Okay, what was your favorite
turtle? Mine's Michelangelo. But I think we're forgetting. I don't think Raphael was an asshole. I think he was just more sarcastic. He wasn't. I think people are remembering, like Kev Botrek said, about the movie.
The movie too much.
But yeah, he was just more of the wisecracker, sarcastic guy. So, I mean, I don't think he was an asshole. But yeah, Michelangelo is my favorite.
All right.
One thing before we move on, I think we should mention is changing of Michelangelo's weapon. I don't know if you guys remember.
I don't remember it ever changing.
Oh no, my God, yeah. It changed from nunchucks to a grappling hook.
When was this?
It was
1987. Because I was at a baby playgroup with, we were talking about, Corey had one of the Ninja Turtles, whatever episodes on from the season, I was like, oh, do you remember when they changed his weapon to a grappling hook? And he's like, yeah, I never did that. And I started Googling. It was called the Turtle Line. So they changed that because it was banned in, I think the nunchucks were banned in certain countries. So they did it to appease, like, maybe UK viewers or American viewers.
Well, they were too sensitive to nunchuck attacks. Like,
I think because those weapons were banned. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous because Leonardo has swords and Raphael has scythe, but I guess
the nunchuck is like the one of the weakest weapons and out of all the four.
Well, I mean, you can see how like.
I remember in our case, like D-Ren and I would like make nunchucks and. And, like, start bashing each other with them.
Yeah, but if you made a sword, what's the difference?
No, but you're not going to make a sword, but, like, you can put, like... you can make some pretty badass nunchucks.
You can make a Donatello stick and a broomstick and nail people with it.
Yeah, but, like, he had, like, 1% popularity. Like, everyone liked Michelangelo.
No, Donatello was
It's a blunt weapon.
Who do you think was the most over turtle?
Michelangelo, without question.
Really?
Without question.
By far.
By far.
So I was the only Donatello fan.
But you know what, Donna? It was odd that I got asked to do this podcast. As people would know that, like, I got asked last minute to do this. And last night I was flipping around on YouTube, and there's a bunch of channels that I subscribe to, and I always try to watch certain videos. And I subscribe to Screw Attack, and they do like random videos. I always like it when they do top tens. But they did like who was the best Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle character, and like. There was three people that said what their version of it was, and the first guy was like flat out, he's like, Donatello, go back to the cartoon, go back to the beginning, and like there was so much even within like the first season like of defeating the Ultra Big Krang and defeating Shredder and putting the Technodrome in Dimension X, that was 90% Donatello.
For sure, Matt. He was the smartest guy by far.
Yeah, it's like if you kind of go back like at least that much that he kind of did. There was so much there that he was always the brain and everything. Like, if you were to take him out of it, the Turtles might not be able to solve everything because you needed that guy to help put things together. He was a guy that – he was the one that built the turtle van and built the turtle blimp, and he was, like, the engineer. And, you know, Michelangelo might have been the most over guy, but if it wasn't for Donatello, there probably wouldn't be no Ninja Turtles.
All right, so just added to the call, we've got Gallifrey.
Hi, guys.
And we've got Will.
Thanks for having me.
All right, awesome. So while Heavy's fixing his Skype there, I'd just like to get your thoughts on TMNT. Start with Gallifrey.
Are we talking about the 90s one with April is dressed all in yellow?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I love that show.
We were throwing around. What's your favorite Ninja Turtle?
My favorite Ninja Turtle is the blue one.
Leonardo.
Yes, Leonardo.
And Will, how about you?
Donatello.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. Two votes for Donatello. Wait, see, I told you, Ken.
I thought that it's understood that Donatello is the gay one.
What?
No.
Whoa.
No, Raphael. Anyway, I'm kidding around. Nobody's gay. Okay, actually, I'll tell you something fun, guys, okay? I was once in Spain. I was, like, 15 when it was school. And then the guide says, we're going to go to a museum now. There's great pieces by Raphael and Michelangelo. And then I raise my hand. And she's like, yes. I'm like, is there any Donatello? And she's like, oh, actually, no, he's a sculptor, so it wouldn't be at this museum. I'm like, oh, okay, thanks. But everybody around me was snickering.
All right, our next cartoon, here we go. The version where Slimer was a good guy. Hey, guys, what came first? Was it the cartoon or the movie?
Movie, it must be.
Yeah, definitely.
So the cartoon followed the movie. They didn't have the original voices, right? If I remember correctly.
I don't think so.
No, they didn't. Actually, I'll tell you something fun. The guy who played Bill Murray was the guy playing Garfield. And then in the Garfield live-action movies, they chose Bill Murray to play Garfield voice.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Why would they pick Bill Murray to do Garfield? Anyways, I know we're going off topic there.
I don't know. Maybe he sounded... No, maybe those two voice actors sounded... Those two guys sounded similar. So that's why they would switch him back and forth, I guess. I don't know.
I was a huge fan. Ghostbusters, Darkwood. We're going to get into a couple other cartoons I was a big fan of. But this was definitely one of my top five. I used to watch it every week religiously.
It came out in the 90s?
might be late 80s.
Yeah, I thought it was 80s. Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, an approximation. We're not going to specific. You know, it's just cartoons of our childhood, I guess.
That's right.
I mean, yeah, it's, you know, Stay Puft. I don't think Stay Puft was a heel either. I know Slimer was a good guy in the cartoon, but I don't know if Stay Puft was a heel. Any thoughts on Ghostbusters?
I only caught a few episodes of this one because I watched the Extreme Ghostbusters during my time.
Oh, okay. See, that's 90s for sure, because it's called Extreme Ghostbusters.
And there's a girl added to the team.
Kebo, Trek, D-Ren, you guys didn't watch Ghostbusters at all?
I did, but honestly, I don't remember too much about it.
It's weird, eh? If you know, you definitely remember the themes, but if you haven't watched a cartoon in 20 years, like, it just, a lot of it, I'm trying to remember specific episodes or...
Well, that's it. I can't remember any specific episodes from it at all.
Yeah. The only thing I remember, I mean, if you remember on the 80s podcast, I got Slimer being a good guy as confused with the cartoon.
Yeah.
I remember we used to have the toys from the cartoon, but specific episodes or villains, it's very hard to remember.
Did you guys have the car, Ecto-1, and, yeah. And the guys, you get the little proton pack and be like this solid plastic piece?
I had that too.
I had the car, I had all the figurines. I think Kev still has Stay Puft.
I'm looking at him right now. I still have this. He's awesome. Not very white, but I still have him.
You should professionally clean him.
He's good how he is.
There you go. All right.
I was a huge, huge fan. I'm still a huge fan of Ghostbusters. It's funny that we start off the show with those two cartoons because I actually, every episode of both Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Ghostbusters on DVD, the first episode is a continuation after what happened after the first movie. Yes, Stay Puft is a good guy. He does have an episode with, it's by far one of my favorites. I think I used to have it on VHS. It's where there's this balloon that was part of a parade called like Murray the Mandus, and it gets, I can't say infected, but the warehouse that it was built in was kind of haunted, and then it possessed the balloon. So then like it became a real mantis, and they tried to find a way to battle it. And the only thing that they had was, which was weird because if you watch the first movie, Stay Puft, he gets blown up and that's it. But for some reason, he's in their little containment unit, and they have Slimer go into the containment unit, and it's like this weird dimension and everything's just floating. It's kind of like space, but all ghost and everything that's caught.
It's crazy you mentioned that now. The memories are coming back, especially with the containment unit.
Yeah, because what happened was they pulled Stay Puft out, and Stay Puft helped them and all this stuff. And I remember I had it on VHS, and whenever they came out with the set, which if you bought this set when it came out from, I forget whoever was selling it, it came in like the Ghostbuster house. And that was the first episode I looked for and watched because it was by far one of my favorites and had kind of added into my obsession with Stay Puft. And between Turtles and Ghostbusters, I had sets of both toys. Like, I think Ghostbusters might have been my favorite because I had the plastic backpack, which was with the proton pack. And
did
I
you
had
have the trap?
Yes, I had the trap. I had the goggles. I had, like, there's stuff that I kind of forget that I had, and I've seen pictures of, and I went, oh my god, yeah, I had that. I had the house. I had the Ecto. I think I thought on the cartoon it might have been the Ecto 2. I'm not 100% sure. It might have still been the Ecto 1. I can't 100% remember. Like I said, just between these two cartoons, by far my favorite. And as much as I do love Ghostbusters, I will go back to say one thing that I am happy about with comes to the Turtles DVDs. They've put those things. They put them out for like 6 years, and for a while I was buying them as they were coming out, season by season, volume by volume. And when I bought the last one, I was so happy that I had like this chunk of my childhood just finished on DVD. It also does need to be mentioned that there was an actual cartoon called Ghostbusters. That's why the cartoon about the movie is called The Real Ghostbusters, because it came, I don't know exactly when it came out, the time of the movie, but there wasn't a copyright difference between the movie that came out and this other show called Ghostbusters. So I know if you look Ghostbusters cartoon, you might find stuff of that, and that's why they had to call themselves The Real Ghostbusters.
Oh, that's interesting.
Cartoon.
Yeah, they didn't have the IP for the cartoon. Let's get into our next cartoon.
Welcome to Atlantis, way under, down under. The sky's always yellow in rain or shine.
Down to Tasmania, come to Tasmania.
It's obviously a spin-off of Looney Tunes. Did you guys watch Tasmania?
Come to Tasmania.
Don't tell me I'm the only one who's seen this.
I saw this on Looney Tunes, but I never really watched the cartoon. I played the video game.
You never watched the Tasmania spinoff, though?
Nope. I played the video game, and I watched it on, like, Looney Tunes when it was on Looney Tunes, but never the spinoff.
Okay. I'm in the minority, I guess. If you guys have checked out Tasmania, you have thoughts you want me to add on next week's show, please tweet me. Send me an email. All right, let's get into... Will thought this is funny that we added it. Seems terrible.
What is it?
Oh, good God. Which is your premise?
Yes.
It's terrible. Waves hot. Slap shot. For the only football guy, they get Bo.
They get both so they can get two sports. Yeah. They can get him for football and baseball.
I mean,
that's
Jordan makes sense, obviously. Gretzky, I thought, was a stretch because nobody watched hockey in the States.
No, they took the three biggest stars, and the thing is, the reason they picked Bo was because Bo could cover both the football and baseball aspect.
I never got the whole thing about Gretzky, like, roller skating everywhere and, like, hitting people with, like, boomerang slap shots and stuff.
The whole show makes no freaking sense.
Wasn't he, like, kind of goofy in it?
On the Wikipedia page, it says he was the comic relief and he liked food a lot.
How could Gretzky be the comic relief?
Yeah, that's weird.
Because Canadians are funny, apparently.
No, he's so dry, man.
But yeah, could someone explain the show to Gallifrey? Because she doesn't know what this is.
Okay, so Pro Stars was a cartoon involving... just an adventure cartoon with Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, and Bo.
Oh my God, that sounds incredible.
Yeah, it was animated. They were like superheroes saving kids.
It lasted a whole 13 episodes.
Yeah, you can see why.
Yeah. And right. I remember Gretzky had a puck that...
Yeah, boomerang puck.
It was a boomerang puck, okay.
He slap shot in it like... It was
and
like the boomerang
from
Zelda.
Puck, though, right?
Why are you going around in roller skates? Like, there's no point.
But Michael Jordan always... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
So I was gonna say, did he have rocket like powered roller skates?
I think they were powered.
Yeah,
he had
a bunch of stuff,
but didn't he have like more than one puck? And
it's like the Batarang. It's like
yeah,
it's like Arrow.
This sounds cool now, but I mean, growing up, it doesn't sound like it's for girls. So I would not have watched.
No, it was not for girls.
You know, we got hockey, basketball.
No, girls have cooties. We don't want them watching this.
Excuse me.
Show.
No, girls were watching Skydancers.
I have no clue what the hell that is.
Yes.
I can't believe you're such a fan of him. No one can stop him, but scum always tries. Young Bond cuts through each web of spies. He learned the game from his Uncle James. Now he's there. D-Ran, you start James Bond Jr.
Well, obviously, as you know, big James Bond fan, so... I mean, back in the, I don't know if it was 80s or 90s, I loved the cartoon. I know it didn't last too long. I think it had a run between a 40 or...
This was on the NBC afternoon lineup, right?
That I don't remember. I just remembered enjoying it because, I mean, I was big, even when I was a kid, I was a fan of the Bond movies. So they had, like he was a nephew of James Bond, and they had... Q's son, who's named IQ, and they had Felix Leiter's son, I think, too, or nephew called Gordo Leiter. So it was just fun, a lot of fun.
And the heels were called Scum.
But they also had, like, Goldfinger in it, Jaws, Oddjob, I mean, cartoon versions of them. Dr. No, like, for example, Dr. No was, I think he had green skin and, like, cybernetic hands. But it was just a lot of fun. I mean... He went globetrotting around the world, saving the day. Even went to Toronto one episode to... I think there's a Mountie called, like, Victoria Province. That was, like, the Bond girl name. So okay. It was just a lot of fun. And, you know, if you're a James Bond fan, I mean, it's corny, but, you know, it's enjoyable.
I don't remember Bond ever being in it.
I don't think, no, it was it's just...
He was on, like, the phone with him or something, but I don't remember him ever being...
No, they probably... weren't allowed to because of the whole thing, but maybe it's just a phone call. I don't remember.
But they could use everybody else but him?
Well, they used their kids, their nephews. They didn't, like, use the characters. Like, for example, IQ was, like, either the grandson or son of the Q, so right. they kind of got away with it like that. So I don't know the whole thing with the IP.
They must have. Yeah, because I could just make Batman Jr. and like Junior Robin. It wouldn't make any sense. For sure.
They must have been some sort of arrangement. But I don't even remember James Bond being on it. But, you know, it's been a while.
No, yeah, it has been a while. I do remember it being in the afternoon lineup. I don't think it was a Saturday morning show. All right, let's get into our next cartoon. This was a really good theme. I know Gallifrey was a big fan of Power Rangers, so you can go ahead and start.
I'm sure she liked Trini a lot.
I watched all of the first season up until the movie, every single episode. I don't know how I caught every single one. I knew their names, I knew everything, I loved the romance between the pictures there.
The thing I found racist, wasn't the yellow one Asian?
Yeah.
And like the black one was the black guy?
But you guys, when I was a kid, I didn't think of it as racist. It was just... I don't know. They were just colors. So
it was technically the most diverse show on TV, technically.
No, yeah. But like, why make the black guy the black one and like?
Well, why not?
The yellow, but that's like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, because
it's stereotypical. Kind of
guys, I'm supposedly yellow, and I didn't think it was racist that the Yellow Ranger was Asian.
What was the name of the yellow?
Trini.
Trini. Yeah.
Okay, so at least it wasn't like Ching or something like.
No, she was Vietnamese. Guys, she was Vietnamese.
No, she was Vietnamese.
Yeah, so was the actress, but then she died.
Yeah, she died, yeah.
I found the pink one was the hottest.
And you know what?
You know what? She did. She's the one who was most successful in her career, right?
And she's still on TV. She's currently in Flashpoint.
Really?
Yeah.
She's Canadian.
Guys, didn't you guys fall in love with, like, Tommy when he first appeared in the first season?
I thought he was a douchebag.
No, but he was supposed to be the cool guy in the 90s.
Because,
remember?
He
was the fucking badass.
Yeah, but no, yeah, he still is. He has a record for breaking the most pieces of wood while skydiving. He does. He seriously does. Beautiful record. I liked Jason a lot.
Red Ranger.
He's the Red Rangers. And I hated how...
He's supposed to be the leader.
Yes. But then when Tommy came in, it was like, oh, look at Tommy. He gets his own freaking giant...
And then he became like silver or white or something.
Yeah, he came white in the movie.
Yeah. No.
All the action sequences were filmed in Japan, right?
This is the thing. The show, like, they actually never wore a costume, okay? The show was already made in Japan. It was a Japanese show, but they just, to convert it to America, they just took all the parts where you see them out of costume and made it be, like, white people.
That's genius.
So yes. They use all the fighting, those are actual footage.
There's actual footage from Japanese, the when they're giant monsters. If you look carefully, like yeah, it's shot here, but then when it's, like, the monsters battling... It's like a Japan background, and Rita was only speaking in Japanese the whole time.
Oh my god, Rita!
That's why the voice is so horrible and doesn't match at all. It's Japanese.
She's the worst villain in all of my TV history. Rita.
When you're a kid, you don't give a shit.
You don't give a crap.
That's true, but I can't watch it now. I can't.
Although, I really, even as a kid, I hated Alpha 5. Okay. I thought Alpha 5 sucked. Yo, Rangers!
But what's his name?
Zordon.
Zordon was super epic and cool. I remember thinking, wow.
His lips didn't move. It was weird. But you know what's weird? It starts in the beginning when they give you like a sum. He's like, Alpha 5, we need to get like teenagers with attitude. And I'm like, why do they need to have attitude? What is this? Also, I love how they all suck at keeping their identity because they all wore the same colors in school. And whenever they would get like a pager ring, it'd go like, do. And I'm like, you losers. You could have like, just really please, like, keep it secret. Why do you make it going out of your way? And everything I found funny is that every single episode is the exact same order. It begins, they have three fights. First fight, they're fighting the putties without costume.
Yep.
Then, it's horrid. And then they fight the smaller creatures like in costume. And it's not them, right? And then when the creature, Rita just, I don't know,
then you have the Transformers fight at the end.
That's
exactly.
Best fight,
every
guys.
Single villain becomes a giant at the end, and then they end up fighting him with whatever they have. By the way, guys, two of those villains were voiced by Bryan Cranston.
They had martial arts training, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. Because, like I said, they did fight out of costume.
But it wasn't as good, though.
But weren't weren't those kids, some of them have, like, gymnastics training or were, like, dancers?
Because I remember some of them could go, like...
Yeah. Well, what's her face? The pink one was a gymnastics.
Kimberly
was gymnastics, and Jason was a karate guy.
Yeah, and Tommy was actually... He had martial arts training, too.
I think he did, yeah. And, also, well, in real life, he's a martial artist. Uh-huh.
It's false that every show ended that way, because they did have episodes where... They had it where they put all their weapons together, and that's what defeated the monster. And there was a very few rare ones where they beat him before getting big, but I think that might have been always with the weapons.
Oh, okay. But anyways, it's always a 3-stage process. Is that correct?
It does seem to be the case. Yeah, I do remember it being like that.
Yeah.
And there's always some kind of a side story with the some kid at school, and there's some kind of morality
to care.
Learn.
And everything, I couldn't care less about those two bullies.
The same two bullies.
They're not in the Japanese version. They're just the American. And what's weird is that those two guys would be the ones that would be bullied if it was a real high school. Those guys would not last a day.
They have no credibility.
That's
zero credibility. Bullies.
None.
Jobber bullies. All right. Next show. Next cartoon.
Geez, mate. What do you want to do tonight?
Take over the world.
Same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
The Pinky and the Brain. Yes, Pinky and the Brain. One is a genius, the other's insane. In laboratory mice, the team can't decide.
I never understood why the other mouse had like an Australian accent. That I never got. This was released in 1993. It was a recurring segment on the Animaniacs show, and then they got their own spinoff. And I used to remember watching. I don't remember if they ever successfully took over the world. I think they always...
They never did.
No, it ended up never working in the end, but...
How can they? They're mice.
Well, no, they would have... The Brain would have very elaborate schemes, but they would always mess up.
The Brain seems like an early version of Stewie a bit.
Well, actually, the Brain is supposed to be... he's supposed to be Orson Welles.
Who's Orson Welles?
Orson Welles is a director. He directed Citizen Kane, and he has that very dry, but yet momentous kind of the way he talks. It's a bit pompous, but also very deep.
Gee, Brain, what do you want to do tonight?
Same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Yeah, it wasn't... Your Pinky's fine, your Brain is a bit off.
Too nice.
Thanks.
Because he's supposed to be more gloomy and like he couldn't care less about...
I'm not a voice guy, so shut up.
I see.
Net through systems, peoples, and cities to this place. Mainframe. My format, Guardian. To mend and defend. To defend my newfound friends, their hopes and dreams. To defend them from their enemies.
This is Canadian, right? I think this is Canadian.
Vancouver, I think.
What show is this?
Reboot, man.
Oh, I never watched
this.
That.
Was on YTV. Yeah, this is Canadian. Happy, did you guys ever get Reboot?
Was it like CGI? Was it like Universal?
Yeah, it was CGI.
I think that was a Saturday morning cartoon at one point. I do remember.
Okay, it was on for 4 seasons. The setting is in the inner world of a computer system known by the inhabitants as the Mainframe. It was deliberately chosen due to technological constraints at the time, as the fictional computer world allowed for blocky-looking models and mechanical animations. Mainframe is divided into 6 sectors. Bodway, Kitts, Floating Point, Park, Beverly Hills, Wall Street, and Getty Prime, also known as G-Prime. The names of the Mainframe sectors are homages to famous neighborhoods, mostly in New York and L.A. I'm trying to, like, in a lot of these cartoons, I'm trying to remember specific shows and stuff. I remember the dog. The dog was always getting into trouble, if I remember.
What? Do you only remember the dog?
No, I remember, like, the main characters, but...
By the way, was it just me or was Hexadecimal pretty hot? Is that just me?
No, she's super scary, dude.
Oh, okay.
She's got all these faces.
Yeah, she was all, like, the Wicked Witch kind of...
Unless she reminds me of the Broad and Gargoyles.
She's got, like, multiple personalities, too. It's crazy. No, the best one is Megabyte, you guys. Or even better, when he becomes Gigabyte.
Isn't that hilarious? That was like the villain, Megabyte, because he bites who, or he's like very big, Megabyte. I don't know.
What? Cute. No, Megabyte, Gigabyte, it's computer terms.
I know, but I'm just saying, they're trying to fit computer terms that sound like an evil person.
Oh,
okay. So he's Megabyte.
Yeah, it's starting to come back to me now. Somebody would play like a game and then they'd
the
have
user.
To.
The user is us.
They'd have to go into the game and like stop the guy from like screwing up the computer or whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because Bob is the guardian of mainframe, and so he has to go and play the games and win so that they don't all turn into these little bites, you know? Yeah. Anyone who's in the game and loses turn into these jelly-like things, and they lose their personality. And the mainframe is kind of like messed up more. Yeah. But like the show, I feel like really picked up at the end of the first or like second season, I can't remember. But when Bob gets trapped in the web, and that's when the whole story picks up and goes crazy. I love it. Do you remember, guys?
Not at all. I mean, it's been so many years, man. Like,
I love how the hero's called Bob.
But
it's
mean,
just his name.
When Bob gets trapped in the web, like everybody at Mainframe has to like fend for themselves, and they're trying to find Bob. And Enzo, the kid, ends up being the next guardian, and then he loses a game, and that's like next stage where it's crazy. And he and Andrea and the dog go into the games as they keep passing through game through after game just to try to find Bob and find their way back home.
Oh wow! I don't remember. I guess I didn't watch that far in.
Well, what's fun is that it would also have a lot of pop culture references.
Yeah, it's true.
That was really cool. Like, it would show, like, old computer games, and it would try to, you know, make it like you're playing inside. Also, there was a whole episode based on the X-Files. So you had, a David Duchovny version of, like, In This World. It was very cute.
Yeah. You remember Mike the TV?
Mike the TV?
Mike the TV?
I don't know Mike the TV.
He was prominent in the X-Files episode you're talking about.
Really?
Okay.
You have a fantastic memory, by the way.
Who's Mike the TV? What did he do?
He's a side character who's really annoying. But
oh, no, I don't like that guy.
Yes, he's a very annoying
guy. Wasn't
character.
There a guy called Mouse or something?
No, it's a lady called Mouse. She joins later in the season and becomes, she's kind of like she's a sexy character.
Ooh, okay, that's why I remember. Yeah.
I gotta check this out.
And the kid, Enzo,
remember the TV.
Yeah.
He's like a walking TV ad, or
yes.
What?
Yeah. Okay, yes, yeah. He's super annoying.
He's very annoying.
That's awesome. All right.
Hold on. Ironically enough, that reminded me of something back for Power Rangers, something that I had heard, because like Tommy or Jason, David Frank, he's made like a comeback over the past couple of years of
really?
Being an MMA, and he goes like Comic-Con tours all the time now.
Oh, yeah, Tommy, okay.
But he said something, and like people like I guess tried to say like no you're wrong, but he's like no this is what it was supposed to be. Alpha is actually a girl.
What?
Yes.
How?
And people were like no he's a boy. He's like no understand it was like Alpha was supposed to be a girl.
What does it make a difference? How's that change anything? I thought it was just a
because
like a robot.
I think everybody kind of more thought of it as like a kind of a male character. Like I know I thought of Alpha as a guy, male boy. Some people don't know that, but it's just like when you hear like that's what they had originally envisioned, you're just like, wow, that didn't really translate the same way on TV.
But the robot, it's a robot, right?
It's a robot.
It didn't even have
it
any female features of a robot.
Or
it,
male.
It had a vagina. No, I have no idea.
Yeah, but Rosie is a female robot of Jetsons.
Yeah, but we're not so.
Would you fuck Rosie?
Yeah,
but they make Rosie look.
I told you.
I wouldn't fuck her, but I fuck her five sisters.
All right, this is going to be the end for episode number one. We're going to come back next week with episode number two of 90s cartoons.
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indie Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indy Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indy Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.